Call me old man Waves.
Damn you, old man!
Wait.
Old ass man.
Shut up, old man. You smell like fart.
No. Man.
Old man.
Wait. He's so old, he got a podcast on cassette.
Fuck, you're old.
Damn it, Wade.
And welcome to the Old Man Wade Show. I am your host, the God of Stubborn, the Lord of Laughter, Old Man Wade. I'm sitting here with my lovely wife, the Valkyrie.
Hey.
With her normal enthusiasm, as always. We got a special guest in here. Somewhat, we're not in here. She's at home social distancing because, you know, the COVID-19 is still an actual thing. Why don't you tell everybody who you are?
Hello, my name is Lauren Shear. I'm a friend of Old Man Wade here via our shared comic book store. He and my husband have patronized Comicopia in Kenmore for a while, and it's a great little store. Please check them out whenever they are able to. They're fantastic. It's like a family there. And I've learned many important facets of geekdom through my husband and through Comicopia, so I feel like I've kind of gotten grandfathered into that, inducted into that world a bit better, even though I'm a geek way back, thanks to Star Wars, X-Files, etc. So, yeah. I feel like I was outside the comic book world, but now I'm definitely much more apprised of it.
It's funny. I didn't know you were into Star Wars. I feel like I knew the X-Files
thing. Oh, I was crazy about Star Wars. I mean, my Instagram handle is Leia's Legacy 84. That's for a reason.
How did I not pick up on that?
It was sci-fi, but it was also funny, and like the acting was pretty natural, and just because of Carrie, she was just natural. She was amazing. Yeah. I loved her.
What was I gonna say? So it was funny. The first time I met you, we were at Pride Parade, and I feel like you were the mother of dragons. I remember you had the egg, and that was before I even knew what Game of Thrones was.
Yeah, that was my first Pride. It was so great.
Yeah, like,
and I built that dress around a bra, and I was very self-conscious the whole time. The people kept saying it looked good, even though I had, like, whip-stitched some fabric onto a bra and managed to have Khaleesi's really just janky version of her wedding dress.
It was still dope, though.
It was still a great day.
How did you hold an egg for, like that for, like, hours?
It was styrofoam. It was, like, nothing.
But even still, holding
it was spray painted green, like not spray painted, but painted green styrofoam. It's the easiest gesture, just cup and egg.
Yeah, but
it was very easy.
But you actually like held it up, like you had it like, you know, like on display.
It wasn't. Oh, there's harder tasks by far.
Yeah.
I could trade off hands, toss it in the back of the truck.
You know what's not difficult? It's not difficult to not be an asshole and donate a bunch of money to Fuckboy 45's campaign.
Well said.
So you know what? Fuck it. Let's get right into it. So actually, a friend of the show on a podcast, I will find his name in a second because I don't want to like, I want to make sure he gets credit for it. But he sent me an article about one of the Marvel chairmen donating a bunch of money to the Fuckboy 45's campaign. I don't want to butcher his name. I want to say his first name is Tanas. If I butchered your name, I deeply apologize and send me an email. Let me know how to properly pronounce it. But thank you for sending the article. It's about Marvel Entertainment's billionaire chairman is donating big bucks to Trump. Marvel Entertainment chairman Ike Perlmutter has long been close to the Trump camp, and he's already turned on a fundraiser tab for 2020. According to CNBC, Paul Martin and his wife have given $360,000 to a Trump Victory Joint Fundraising Committee, ranking them among the campaign's top donor. During the 2018 cycle, Paul Martin, who was worth an estimated $5.2 billion, and his wife donated over $2 million to conservative candidates and organizations. He's also considered part of the what ProPublica called Mar-a-Lago crowd. Do you know what that is? Mar-a-Lago crowd?
Mar-a-Lago is his Trump's crappy little golf hotel thing down in Mar-a-Lago, Florida.
Oh, yeah, that shit. No wonder I erased that from my mind. But yeah, long story short is that asshole donated a ton of money to an unworthy cause that's been causing racism and sexism and homophobia for longer than he's actually been in office. So this came as, it didn't really come as a shock because a lot of billionaires are going to be billionaires and they're going to support their buddies so they can get tax breaks and not get hit equally with things and they get special favors and so on and so forth. So I'm pretty sure nobody listening right now was shocked by that. I think the shocking part is that the Marvel name is on it. Valkyrie, do you have any comments on that? About like just that, what was just transpiring in general?
I mean, not any more so than anybody else. In like what people have been saying in general. Like, I don't understand how people still support Trump with everything that he has said and done.
Yeah.
I understand being conservative, and that's your prerogative to believe that, I don't know, Jesus rules the world or whatever the fuck theory it is that they have.
Yeah.
That is your right, your ability, and your whatever, but to say that you are not racist or that you love everyone equally, but then to donate to a man that is outwardly racist and provoking violence against people of color, trans people, against the gay community, like literally about against anyone that is not white, male, or wealthy. Like, for me, it's problematic, and I feel like it should be problematic for everyone.
Yeah. So, Lauren, your thoughts?
Absolutely, I agree, and it especially bothers me. One thing, I was raised Jewish, and that's a part of my identity, even though I'm not religious. It's a cultural thing more than anything else. My parents were like very reformed. There's a lot about Judaism that I don't really know a lot about. The more intense parts of it, like Orthodox or Hasidic life, I feel like I could never live those lives because I'm not religious. But when I see Jewish people, and my uncle was one of them, he voted for Trump, but I will never forgive him because my grandfather got shot down fighting and like was a prisoner of war fighting the Nazis. These are the people who tried to exterminate us, and for any Jewish person to back Trump in any way, and for wealth reasons, that is like living up to all the anti-Semitic propaganda that has always been perpetrated against us, saying that we only care about money or Israel or whatever, and that's like living up to the worst possible things that people could say about us and showing that you've not learned from our history at all, and you don't understand that this is fascism. And it's just, it makes me, one of the things that makes me so angry, it's like when my grandmother found out that Bernie Madoff was Jewish and that he cheated like the Holocaust survivors. That's like the shame that someone of your people could do something like this and harm other people so much. It's just the level of disgust, I can't even express it.
So, and you were both right. And he should be chastised for this. And when someone asked me, they was like, well, why don't you cancel Marvel? I'm like, my problem is there are also a lot of writers and creators of color who need that support. And I'm at a crossroad where I'm like, but does it make it right? You know what I mean? You have somebody like Vita Ayala, who I love and support. You have Reginald Hudlin, who I love and support. You have writers like Jason Aaron, who makes it a point to bring up issues that women have and lets it clear that he doesn't like know what they're going through, but like, hey, this is the best I can do with my platform. You have Jewish writers, Spanish writers, trans writers, gay writers, creators, and all that, and it's like they're under this umbrella. And for me, the difficult is canceling Marvel when it's like how does the trickle down effect, like it's like sure my X amount of money a month is not even a drop in a bucket, like you know what I mean, it's barely steam in a bucket. So how would you Go ahead.
So that statement's not true, right? Like, your drop in the bucket is just a little piece, but all those little pieces make up the funds that they're using to...
Yes.
To, like, support this campaign. So I understand the feeling of, oh, I don't want to not support my writers, my, like, my people of color, my... the people that are for gay rights and trans rights and are for everyone having equality and just living their own lives and minding their business. Like, my feeling with it is I don't want to not support those people, but I also don't want to watch my money. And Marvel makes millions off of people going to see their movies and see that, you know what I mean? Like, I don't want to watch that money get sent to a cause that is openly and blatantly racist, homophobic, sexist. Like, I just, to me, if I were those writers, I would fucking leave.
Yeah.
I would just leave. I would start my own shit. Like, how many different writers in there would get up and just walk out and leave? Like, how many of those writers that you're talking about would how important would that be? It's kind of like when people were talking about the NBA going back to play, right? They're supposed to start. For me, I don't think they should start because all that is a distraction. So people have something else to look at instead of what is happening right now. And for me, if I were in the NBA, I would be taking a stance and be like, no, I'm not doing this until all this is situated and all this is figured out. Like, money is not, I guess for me, money is not a motivator for me. I will find another way to make a dollar. I don't need things. I don't need stuff. I need actions. I need people to be willing to fight for those who can no longer fight for themselves. In every community around the world, like, people just being senselessly murdered for their beliefs or how they look or just wanting to live their own life and not be bothered. Like, I just can't support that. Like, I am canceling fucking everything. Like, if you support the Trump campaign, I'm not with you. I'm not shopping at your store. I'm not drinking your coffee. I'm not eating your food. I'm not buying your books. No.
Well, the other thing about that is, like, you have, like, the Wendy's, like, they, when they came to cancel Wendy's, where it's not, like, it's the same thing with Marvel. Like, one of their chairmen is supporting them, but you have other ones who are not. So, like... Lauren, like, where do you... And I agree with everything she said, because realistically, like, yes, if I spend, we'll say, $5,000 a year, it may be a drop in the bucket, but if everyone who's putting in $5,000 a year does that, it does have an effect. So, Lauren, what are your feelings on, like, supporting, like, even though it may not be every chairman, but it's just, like, you know what I mean, but that money still goes to them. What are your feelings on that?
I'm very torn, because, like, it's not like... saying, oh, I'm never going to watch a Woody Allen movie or a Roman Polanski movie again. I'm going to make sure they never get my money. Because that's just one person. Yes, they have people working under them, but, I mean, should they be working for Woody Allen or Roman Polanski?
No.
But this is a different case. Those people who work at Marvel have gotten in there, and they probably didn't know about this, but they have since been able to build a career, and it's certainly not on them to have to cut ties with the thing that makes them able to publicize their work. But if they are able to, if they're known well enough in their own right, then maybe they could go independent, find another distributor, maybe.
Yes.
But then they might lose the right to work with the characters they've been working with, because those are an IP that Marvel might own. I'm not going to pretend I know a lot about all this and how that, I just imagine that's how it works. But if there are things like Patreon where you could back artists or like just Venmo artists, specifically them. But then again, how many people are going to go out of their way and find all the artists that they like and do that? Well, I mean, then again, the comic book crowd, if anyone, is going to have the like care and fandom to find their chosen artists and back them. I think if any crowd could do that, the comic book fans could.
And it's funny, you bring up a good point about like Patreon, and that's something that's actually become super popular, especially around the with the pandemic going on. You have wrestlers, comedians, strippers who are all like, well, I can provide you a service, but you know, I'm not going to provide the service for free. So they give you a Patreon, yeah. And it'll give you, like, extra, like, behind-the-scenes footage. Like, there's a woman I interviewed, Sarah the Rebel, who's a she's a wrestler in, woman of wrestling in Las Vegas. And she has a Patreon. And she was, during the interview, she talked about how she does, like, short stories. She offers signed pictures from exclusive photo shoots that she does. And, like, she does really well. Podcast that I listen to, The Whiskey Brothers, they offer, like, specific things for doing that. There's a ton of IG models, and like I said, strippers and porn stars who do the same thing, who, if you want to support them, you can, you know, give directly to the creator. So that is an actual thing, but to your sense, it's like, I also wonder, when you have a billion-dollar corporation who has this pull, the difficult thing is now is, like, do they get blackballed for speaking up? So, like, you'll have a guy, like, for example, one guy did something really nasty. I'm not going to say this artist's name, but he said something, he put something in X-Men Gold that was in his religion, but it was super sexist. And he thought he was going to get away with it. Someone caught it, and then he said, well, this is my religion. I should have the freedom to say whatever I want. And it's like, yeah, you do, but you also have, they also have the right to say, fuck you, we're not going to use your art anymore. And so that's on a much more extreme level. But let's say you have someone, like, let's say Old Man Wade writes for Marvel, decides to go to Twitter and say, hey, fuck the CEO, or, like, you know, I don't support what the CEO does, I get fired, and then it's like DC Comics now doesn't want to work with me. Image doesn't want to work with me because now I have this image of people going, like, he's difficult to work with. But then it's a matter of, like, where does my integrity lie? And to my wife's point, money isn't everything. So, like, you know, it's a difficult, and we're in a difficult and strange place where, like, you can have that integrity because there are other avenues to make money.
Yeah, well, and my other thing is, too, imagine if all the people that work for that company collectively just literally flat out stood up and spoke out about it,
mm-hmm.
and said something.
Well, people have been waiting for, like, let's take the NFL, for example.
Oh,
people have been waiting. People have, yeah, we can say, fuck the NFL. Look,
I don't watch football. I never liked football, and I never will watch football. For a sport that is 90% of color, their stance on all of this shit has been so disgusting and gross that I still would never support them.
And it's funny because, like, now all of a sudden, it's like, oh, now I get it. Oh, now you get it.
Yeah, but it's not like, now I get it, I apologize for being a piece of shit. It's just like, okay, let's throw out a statement because we don't want to lose our black players and we don't want to lose our
black dollar.
Our black dollar. Like, and that's my whole thing with, like, not giving my money to these things, because that's, so I can protest, I can hold signs, I can speak until I'm blue in the face, and it will fall on deaf ears still. And some people will realize and some people won't. What hurts government, what hurts people of wealth, what hurts those companies is losing money. If you lose my money, you're fucked. You have no choice but to change your position and change what you're doing if the masses refuse to touch your stuff. And that's what happened during the civil rights movement, right? That whole bus boycott went on for a year. We can't do anything for a freaking week. It went on for a year. And it hurt. They lost a lot of fucking money because people of color were the ones taking their buses to get to and from work. Things changed because people refused to do things. And things changed because people boycott, because people stop giving a fuck, because people realize that their money is going to a corrupt system and they're giving it to them freely. I just personally, and I get, like I said, I get why you're still gonna read your comics and you're still gonna do whatever. I get that, but for me personally, I will not spend my money somewhere knowing that they're bashing full communities, not even just people of color, like people in general. Like,
well, it's also the funny thing. It's also not funny, but like,
but
it's
back
also
the Republican Party. Back, if you're a Republican, back the Republican Party. But do not back a racist bigot. unless you are racist.
Well,
or
absolutely.
Sexist or homophobic. You have to be those things to be able to vote for that man. I'm sorry. It is the only logical thing. And if you are concerned about having your party represented, then you should have thought about that before him being your only option for running.
Well, the other thing about it is that you also have, like, and Lauren, you can testify to this as well. Marvel, the writers and everything, they don't hide back how they feel about it. And I've also noticed that, like, they don't, like, the writers and stuff, they will not fight the urge to, like, say that they think this guy is disgusting. I remember Ben Grimm is in a comic book, and someone was like, he's like, I'm Ben Grimm, I'm the Thing, the second most popular orange monster in the country. So it's difficult, and like, and it's like they are making a stand, but then again, it's like, we're in a really disgusting time where, like, you really have to, like, stand up and be accounted for, and you know what I mean? And it's like, you can say, it's one thing to say something, it's another to actually, like, do it.
Do it, yeah. And I think that's I think that's important, especially in 2020. Because people dismiss things so quickly. Like, look at how quickly this whole movement is starting to now just diminish, right? We're not seeing as much in the news because they're done, because nobody's rioting and nobody's looting, and they're done criminalizing every black person in America and making the whole protest about it being just a bunch of criminals doing bad shit. Like, see, look at what these black people do and incite.
But the problem
and is, they don't have that anymore. But nobody wants to put out news about the positive shit that is happening, about the protests that are happening peacefully, beautifully, like, where people are coming to speak, where people are coming together. Nobody wants to, like, media has completely, it's dropped. And all I keep on hearing from white people who say that they're not, like, not, and I
no
don't
meaning,
mean this
no
as a broad spectrum
you
of all white people. It's these specific people
yeah.
who say that they understand why people are upset, but then in the same breath keep on saying, enough is enough, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I'm sorry you don't want to deal with this anymore, Becky, but I would also love not to deal with the fact that every time my husband leaves my house, I'm terrified that he could possibly be mistaken for someone that's a criminal standing at the bus stop, minding his business, getting ready to go to work at 11 o'clock at night. Like, I understand that this is so painful and hard for you to swallow and digest, because God forbid, like, you have to hear somebody tell you that somebody else's life is more important than you having stuff or doing things. Like, I just, for me, it's just, I just don't want to watch all of this blow over.
Well, this was the problem, and so Lauren, you protest, you go out, you march,
yeah,
you make sure the people's voices.
I feel
heard.
Like the least I can do is offer my presence and follow the lead of the people of color who have been in this fight much longer than I have, and just follow their guidance and be of service however I can. And I will pretend I'm brave enough to go be, as one of my favorite comedians, Jackie Cation, puts it, a white lady meat shield, and put myself between the cops and protesters, which I wish I could do. I want to be that, but I would have a panic attack if a cop, like, took me in and I was in prison, and Will would freaking lose his shit. He was nauseous all day the day I went to one a couple weeks ago, that mass action against police brutality,
yes.
put on outside City Hall, and there was a huge police presence all around there. There were no interactions that I heard about or saw at all,
yeah.
fortunately. But, I mean, of course, when the large body of people tend to disperse, then they start going in and picking after people sometimes. But it was relatively early, and I kept assuring Will, I know this area, I could walk home from there if needed, and I'd observed the lessons of the previous big protest in Boston that got attacked by the cops, and, like, the T stations were shut down and people were kettled onto Newbury Street, and what did they think was going to happen? They were, like, begging for looting and rioting to take place because they're kettling panicked people on this street, and there's going to be some people amongst a massive crowd who are going to I don't know, just, and it's not nearly as important. Chanel or fucking Burberry have insurance.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
I don't care about Burberry. I mean, I might have cared about Trident because it's a local bookstore and leave that alone. But again, it's not as important as people getting murdered in the street. So I might have wandered off the topic. My ADHD will do that, but anyway, feel free to divert me back to whatever we were talking about.
But no, it falls.
Yes, I go to protest.
But yeah, it falls under the same umbrella, and like you may not know the suffering of what a black man or black woman may go through, but you're a woman. Mm-hmm. You're not treated fairly at all. You may be a white woman, but you're also a white Jewish woman. Like, you know what I mean? So yeah. There is a struggle for you in general. And before you were doing this, you were at the rallies for women's rights when Fuckboy was, doing what when he first started. His first major thing was being sexist. You know what I mean? And not acknowledging the things that are going on.
Everything all at once.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been racist since before I was born.
Yeah.
He's been a slumlord since before I was born.
He's been a piece of shit forever.
Yeah.
And you know what's funny about it is I remember, I vividly remember Method Man's second album. He was on Method Man's album saying, hey, I'm sitting here waiting for this album, said his name. And he used to hang around with a lot of black rappers in the fucking club, and they loved him. And it was like, all of a sudden, it was like, so which one of these are your true colors? Are you, and it's just like, no, his true colors are himself. He loves the applause. So right now he's getting the applause from a bunch of racist and racist idiots, a bunch of uninformed black people, and a bunch of rich people. So he's enjoying the applause. And if he could get more applause from black people, he'd be on the other side of the fence. He's a selfish, ignorant, disgusting, deplorable piece of shit. And it's sad that the majority of the people who vote for him, he doesn't give a shit about him. Like, Dave Chappelle has a joke. He goes, he doesn't care about you. I'm rich. He cares about me. You know what I mean? And so that's the part that's really funny about it. And Chappelle hates him. Like, you know what I mean? But he's honestly like, yo, he doesn't care about you. So why are you voting for someone who legitimately does not care about you? What has he done for all the people who voted for him? What has he done for them? Like, you know what I mean? Education still sucks. They're still removing,
yeah.
They're still taking money from education and funneling it to the military. Like, you know what I mean? So it's like, he obviously doesn't care about you. So I don't get it. But that, again, I went on a tangent. So do you remember the first time you actually went out and protested? Or when you had a moment of clarity when you're like, I need to do more than what I'm doing now?
Are you asking me or Maria?
Oh, you. Sorry. So I should probably use names.
Okay. Sorry. That's kind of fuzzy. Well, in college, actually, when I was really little, I was really into animal rights and very against fur and animal testing. And this was like when I was 7, 8 years old, 9. And like, I did a report on it and everything. And so I started like saving up money to donate to like anti-animal testing things. So that wasn't a protest, but it was definitely like charity work, political action, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I like think I remember writing to Ed Markey asking him to outlaw fur when I was 6 or something. Or no, it was about Gillette. Because Gillette was, I kept seeing as a little kid graphic images of what they would do to rabbits with these razors. And ever since, I banned Gillette and Procter & Gamble products from our house. So I had an activist, altruistic activist gene, I guess. And then in college, I did some stuff with a group called Students Taking Action Now for Darfur, when there was the genocide in Darfur. And I feel like it's an obligation that I am a middle class white girl who, you know, has a wholesome face that can let me get away with a lot of things. And I haven't experienced a great deal of hardship that didn't come from like mental illness stuff. And I always felt like I should use whatever I have, whatever I've been spared from to, I don't know, I owe it to to do that. So those are my first things, but I think protests, I don't think I went to any before Trump, sadly, but I was starting to get involved with a group called Jewish Voice for Peace, which focused on ending the oppression of Palestinians in Israel, because I think we have to clean our own house first, and or not first, but as well.
Yes.
And we of all people should, you know, see a apartheid society for what it is and be instrumental in trying to dismantle that. It's just another manifestation of white supremacy that, and another evidence that not all of us have learned from our own history. So, I mean, I think that those were my first protests, but the Women's March in 2017 was like my first big rally thing that I went to.
You know, it's funny, I was working at...
And then I was like, donate here or there whenever I could.
Yeah.
Etc.
You know, it's funny, I remember I was actually working at my other job that I used to over by Fenway, and I remember the my boss going, hey, just make sure you're vigilant, because, you know, like there's a women's rights protest going on, so you gotta, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure we'll be fine. This isn't the group of people you have to worry about that are going to start breaking windows and come running into, like, my building, like, you know, wreaking havoc. Like, you're fine. But we also had the, those idiots who would protest the Jewish monument every year. And
I was there. Which, do you mean, like, the right-wing psychos? When was that?
This was if I was at the job for 15 years, that might have been 10 years ago.
I probably still lived in Framingham then. I wasn't quite as in the loop.
Trust me, give it a Google, you'll find it, and it's disgusting. And it might have even been called something else, but like we always knew that this was a specific protest that was always going to like cause an uproar. And it was always funny that when it did happen, it was never the people who were protesting against it. It was always the ones who were like, you know, the Holocaust isn't real. It didn't happen. And it's like, you're a moron. Like it's always the morons who don't really understand like what's going on. But like it's sad like how tone deaf they are about like if it was your rights that were being taken away, you feel a certain way about it. We had a, and so I wanted to bring this up. I tweeted something this morning, last night, whatever you want to call it, about my wife, being my wife. In life, my wife is a scalpel. She's sharp, she's subtle, she gets to the point. I am a hammer. Everything looks like a nail to me. That's just what it is. Now, what's funny is, since everything else is going on, the roles have flipped. She's become the hammer, and I've become the scalpel. And it's actually kind of, and I said, I was just like, my wife's awesome. Like, she's heroic. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I take a softer, gentler approach to things, and she's like, you know what I mean? She's shooting a rocket launcher of sense at people, but they need to be hit by this. She's a lot braver than I. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'm good at this, and I'm good at writing. Like, I can, like, when people have come to me and they have questions, like, I can answer questions to you. Like, it's funny how I can hold my emotion now. It's fine. But, and, it, like, I always tell people, like, so, my wife's seen it. If someone attacks her in public, it's like, all right, well, now I'm gonna have to fuck you up. But verbally, I'm like, I ain't gotta worry about her. You need to worry about her. Like, that's fine. But it's funny how, like, roles and dynamics change when intense situations come up. Your husband was in the military, right?
Yeah, and he is always very anxious about my going to these things because he knows I get emotional and I have anxiety attacks if a cop were to come at me and pepper spray me. He's been pepper sprayed a lot. He had to be pepper sprayed a lot in training, and it was just another thing for him. And he's always so scared of me going into these groups because he's like, it only takes one person among the cops or amongst the crowd who has bad intentions to make everything go south and put you in serious danger. So we've had a lot of arguments about it, and I'm like, I can't in good conscience stay home, especially because we've both had and recovered from COVID, fortunately mild cases.
Yeah.
Like months ago, we've gotten better. So without that fear over my head, I don't really have a reason to stay away, because I'm probably not the first person people are going to be, like, cops are going to be going after anyway, and the more people show up, the less likelihood any one person is to get picked out, I guess, just law of averages.
Like, yeah, the strength in numbers.
Hmm?
Strength in numbers.
Yeah, and I feel like I at least owe my presence.
So,
especially if they shut down the T again, I could walk home from downtown Boston. So.
But I also think it's something that I've spoken on. I'm pretty sure I've spoken on here. It's like having allies who don't look like you. Not like you, Lauren, but like look like me. So like my homegirl Carol, she's Honduran, and she's in the military, so she's mentioned that she can only say so much because of the situation she's in, but she's also said that she can't stay silent because she knows oppression, she feels oppression, not just as a woman, but also a woman of color. And then on top of that, like she came to this country after being born in Honduras. So while she's a legal citizen, like, and her English is fine, she still talks with an accent. So that's another quote-unquote strike against her, because it's not what the typical racist American wants to see. So it's important, I think, that we accept the allies that we have. Like, one of our favorite people, Laura, and I'm pretty sure you've interacted with her on my Facebook page. I won't say her last name on here, but she's someone who always, like, she protests. She's always there for the Pride Parade. Like, she protests. She marches. She'll be the first one to say, you know, Black Lives Matter. She's also, like, someone who gets it. Like, you know what I mean? Gets it, but it's always a difference between getting it and knowing that you don't get it. Like, I understand women's rights, but I'm not a woman, so I don't really get it. I just get that it's a thing that you need, and I get that it's a really terrible thing that you have to go through, you know what I mean? But for, like, you know what I mean, I would be foolish to be like, we can do it all by ourselves. Like, no, we're in the minority right now, so we need the more help, the better, like, you know what I mean? A helping hand is a helping hand, so.
Yeah.
So,
well, you would have been heartwarming to see the first protest in Brookline that happened another, like, the week or so before. It was luckily led by local Black youth and assembled by them, but it was kind of, like, heartwarming to see, like, little blonde cheerleader teen types heartfelt yelling, "Say her name!" and leading the chants, because they were probably just, it's Brookline and it's super white, and they had to have, like, chant collars throughout, so it was like, oh, they really give a shit. And seeing, like, a dad and his little 8-year-old girl kneel, taking a knee and raising a fist and, like, just looking at us like, thank you for what you're doing. And it was like, oh my god. I mean, not me, but, like, the massive people. It was just lovely to see all the support from little old ladies waving for Black Lives Matter signs from their balconies. It was sweet. And yeah, Brookline has its problems, but it was just nice to see that there and have so much support come out for it. I stumbled upon this march, and it was just rather lovely. It's good to see that growing. Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're fine. You can. No. You're the guest. Talk.
Oh, I'm
all you
my
want.
Thought.
No, talk all you want. Go ahead. Tell the story. Like,
no, I finished the thought. It's fine.
How would you recommend anybody who wants to support? Like, explain how people can be a voice, and explain the multiple ways that people can actually, like, you know, do something to help.
Well, I think you were going to talk about this later on, but like about the good and bad of social media. This is one case where social media can actually be really helpful because following Black and Indigenous people of color, especially like Black women and Indigenous women, like Rachel Cargill, Zerlina Maxwell, there's tons of others. I can't think Ijeoma Oluo, whose book So You Want to Talk About Race is essential. I just got the audiobook of it, and I think I'm going to get a physical copy just so I can lend it to people. And it's just a really good primer, and it's a primer, but it's also in depth, so it gives you a really good, thorough basis that's also very digestible in what women of color especially have to deal with, Black women especially have to deal with every day. And she also talks about internal biases within the community and what she's faced as someone who experienced poverty as a child, etc. She's a great writer. But reading Black writers and Indigenous writers, following them on social media, following their the groups that are led by them, people who are actually experiencing these issues, it's important to follow their leadership because they've been in this fight far longer than any white folks have. And they know the fight much more intimately. And like donating to mutual aid funds, donating to bail funds, diversifying the people you follow on Twitter, and yeah, learning there's so many materials for white allies on social media, like how to talk to your relatives or your friends or the person in your office, talking about how if they say something racist but don't mean it that way, it's not always your intent. Your intent doesn't really matter to the person who's getting hurt by the things you're saying. Like how to have all these, how to start all these conversations. It's those are the things that will really help white allies deal with, put our own house in order so our ignorant uncle or hairdresser or whatever, whoever we come into contact with who says some shit we don't like or stuff that you think, oh, maybe they're good people, but they just are misunderstanding this completely and they deserve to know different. If you can call them in, if you can, if they're not being super nasty, and if they are being nasty, you should still try to deal with it before any Black people or other people have to deal with that, because my day is not filled with that. Yours might be, dealing with white people's bullshit. And we have to take that discomfort on ourselves and try to fix whatever we can. Or at least show that there are white people who care about this stuff and will think poorly of you for expressing such ignorant opinions. They have to know that there's consequences, and then they might actually examine themselves.
And I think that's a huge part of this is, like, I've had some people, like, there's a guy on Twitter, like, I literally just met within, like, the last, like, 4 or 5 months we follow each other, and he, just tweeted, I was like, he, hit me up, I forget what I tweeted, it doesn't matter, but he was saying how he wanted to inform his family members about what they're doing was wrong, and I offered as much advice as I can. He goes, I've tried that, he goes, like, he's like, and I explained it to him, and I came down to it. And I don't remember if I said this, but I feel like at some point, as much as it hurts, you have to start cutting people off. Like, Valkyrie, yeah, has been cutting people off left and right. And Anissa Odin, cool, do it. Because, like, there's not really, like, for me, it's just like, you're going to have to delete me because I'm not going to stop talking about the shit I'm going to talk about. And if you hate that I'm talking about, like, how important this movement is, then either hide me or fucking delete me because I'm not going to stop. But Valkyrie, it's a little bit different for her. Like, you know, it's like, you know what? If you're not going to listen, then go fuck yourself. I don't even want people knowing that I'm associated with you. Which I completely understand.
But yeah, I kind of felt like that about my uncle. Like, I didn't invite him or his wife to my wedding because he got much more... He used to be a really sweet, empathetic person, or at least I thought. And then he just got more conservative once he married this woman. And after things I'd heard her say and things he's been fine with, clearly, by voting for Trump, I did not want him at our wedding because just seeing him makes me so angry now, and that he can be sanctimonious and think he has a leg to stand on morally just sickens me. And, like, as one of my favorite other podcasters, Dan Savage, says the only leverage you have over your family as an adult is your presence. And if they lose that, maybe that's the only thing that'll get them to think about coming around. And if they don't, then at least you'll have that pain, that gnawing out of your head.
Yeah. It's... Yeah, like, and it's funny, like, I've cut people off from my family because it's like, I'm not with your ultra-religious way of life. I actually told a story to someone today when my dad was like, oh, you have to invite your uncle. And I laughed at him. He goes, I'm serious. I'm like, so am I. That's funny. Fuck him. Like, you know what I mean? He doesn't dictate anything I do. I've never liked him. I still don't like him. So, no, I'm not going to invite him to my wedding. I'm not inviting anybody that I don't care about. And
yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked if he voted for Trump. To be honest with you, like, he's an asshole. Like, he, like, you know what I mean? He's a... Oh, no, I'm... Yeah, that's another story for another day.
we can have an uncle bitching session later.
I can't... I cannot stand that dude, man. He is just the fucking worst. So let's move on to another story that I... Like I said, the story about wrestling that that the gentleman talked about that he... Oh, no, something completely different. Something completely different. That's not the Marvel thing. This is the wrestling thing. So, Valkyrie may not know. No, and we talked about this. I guess the best way to go is speaking out trends as several top names in wrestling face sexual assault allegations. This is shocking and not all at once. It's shocking because sexual assault and sexual misconduct in wrestling has been a thing for decades. Like, that's not an exaggeration. Like, in the 80s, I've mentioned this on a podcast, Roddy Piper has talked about how other men would do certain things to him that were, like, you know, sexual nature that made him uncomfortable. But, you know, for a lot of wrestlers, it's either take it or, you know, don't. Like, you know what I mean? Or get out the business. And it's called, like, you know, it's called harmless hazing. You know what I mean? Or things like that.
Yikes.
But it's something in a culture that's never stopped. It's been like this for, like I said, for decades. But now you have a lot of people coming out and speaking. And I guess the hashtag has been speaking out, SPEAKINGOUT. And they've been calling out people on blast. Like, and while there are a lot of women, there are also a lot of men who are speaking out on this as well, which is shocking because, as Valkyrie, and I'm pretty sure you can attest to this, it's really difficult for a man to admit that they were sexually assaulted by another man because it comes off like you're weaker. Well, why couldn't you stop them? It makes you less than a man if you couldn't do certain things.
I mean, the same thing goes for women, though.
I didn't say that.
I'm just saying. Don't get offensive. I'm just saying we understand that plight, that feeling. I'm not... negating what you're saying, relax.
No, I get a little defensive because I remember telling someone that some woman, like, grabbed my dick on the train, and their response was like, well, it happens to us all the time. I'm like, I agree, but that doesn't negate the fact that I was basically, like groped on uncomfortably groped on a train. I couldn't wear basketball shorts for, like, years after that. Like, you know what I mean? I get defensive, and I apologize for that. But, like, women have finally gotten a place in wrestling where they don't have to look like Victoria's Secret models to actually wrestle. Like, you can actually be talented and you'll be successful. But Lord knows the stories that, like, they can tell. There's a woman named AJ Mendez. I forget her married last name, but she has a book called, something is my superpower. I'll look it up when we talk. But I remember listening to the book, and she was explaining how she was stretching one day, and one of the wrestlers was, like, ogling her. It's one thing you walk by, you see something, you just kind of keep moving. One guy was ogling her, and one of the male wrestlers grabbed him and slammed him up against the wall, and he was like, you are going to treat these women with respect. And so he came from a... Like, he didn't come up in wrestling. He came up as an Olympic level athlete. Like, he was a powerlifter. So he didn't grow up in that culture where something like that was okay. And now imagine how disgusting that is, like, when you're, like, in a culture that's, like, you know, made, like, in the way he was, demands respect, and you come in, and it's like, you guys just do this shit and it's okay. You know what I mean? So it's so they're naming, so a lot of people are being named, being named. There's a woman named Piper Niven who's outspoken up about this. There's a this disgusting wrestler named Velveteen Dream who yeah, that's his name. That is his name.
I'm sorry.
Trust me, the name is funny. It talked about that, like he was sending nasty direct messages, and like allegedly, I know the messages we saw were nasty because they've almost all but been confirmed that he was sending nasty messages to underage. I'm not sure if they're boys or girls, but it doesn't matter. They were underage. And I'm glad that it's actually coming to a place where you can actually, like, where, like, a lot of these, like, women and men have, like, finally spoken up and been like, yo, this is what the wrestling culture was, or this is what it still is. There was a promoter, Jim Cornette, who has been cited as having wrestlers do sexual things for, in front of, or with his wife, if they wanted to continue doing business with them. You guys can look it up. His name is Jim Cornette, and people can look up the actual allegations. But what makes it even better is, like, now you have a lot of other... So what happens is now is, like, you have these women speaking up. So now it's like, okay, well, I'm going to speak up now. And so once... And then that ball gets rolling, and all these people who shouldn't be idolized or looked at or even have their celebrity are now getting called out for the shit that they're doing. And the strength that these women have empowered, like, you know, these other men who have been sexually assaulted to, like, you know, gain the courage to, like, go, I was also a victim of this as well, which will hopefully have, like, more men speak up, which will in turn have more women speak up, which will hopefully abolish this disgusting culture where you have to do something sexual in order to, like, prove your worth in the wrestling industry. I'm not sure how much you did, Lauren. Did you get a chance? Because I sprung this on you like 5 minutes before we started.
I didn't really get to look much up, but it just seems like you would think after Terry Crews came out and said that he'd been sexually assaulted, like, you know, no one could question Terry Crews's masculinity. Like, you'd think he would have, that could have set a precedent for more men saying, yeah, this fucking assault, doesn't make mean I liked it or anything, and it's, I don't know, it shouldn't be, I guess, I don't know, I guess you always hope society evolves quicker than it does.
Yeah.
But then again, in such a hyper-aggressive, body-focused world as wrestling, which I, again, know fuck all about, but I know that basic thing, it's focused on the body and bodily aggression and domination. It doesn't really surprise me that that's a prevalent thing there, or more prevalent than had been let on. It seems like it, of course. I mean, if it were like curling, then maybe I'd be a bit more surprised. Because you don't think about the sexual assault inherent in the world of curling.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah, it's bad. Valkyrie, you started to say something earlier, like way earlier, about the wrestling stuff before we even recorded. Like, what are your thoughts about people finally speaking up? Like, this has been a trend for me the past, like, year, I want to say, with more, like, wrestlers speaking up.
Okay, so again, like, wrestling is another major platform, just like Marvel, and I feel the same way. There's such a large group of number of people that this has all happened to. If all of them stood up and said something and formed together, like what we're trying to do now, it would make a difference. Like, if you continue to be complacent and watch things happen because you don't want to fuck up your money or your life or your career, things are never going to change, and people are going to continue to do things that hurt you, that hurt others, that cause others like trauma and PTSD. Like, for me, there's a large facet of men and women in the wrestling community that this stuff has happened to, that it's like, all right, speak up, say something, be loud. Don't worry about your paycheck. Don't worry about whatever. And I get that it's your livelihood, but there are always other options. You are not going to go hungry. You can get a job at friggin' JCPenney. Are you going to be able to afford your lifestyle? No, but if a whole group bands together, that's how you change things. That's what protests are about. That's what standing up and speaking out is about. Like, sitting back and watching, like, I could never work for a company and sit back and watch them do something so blatant and nasty and not say something if I knew what was going on. Even if it didn't affect me, say I've never been touched, I've never had to deal with it, it's never been my problem, I just go in, I do my thing, I get my money, and it has nothing to do with me. I've never had this issue. If my coworker comes to me and says, Maria, somebody did something inappropriate to me, they touched me, and another one comes to me again, and then another one comes to me again, and another one comes to me again, then I'm going to stand up and say something. Because of the simple fact that they need help. They need a voice. They're afraid. They're scared. It's the same reason why I stand up for you when I say stuff. Like, for you or being black, like somebody was like, well, why, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I'm standing up right now for this because the people that it affected can no longer speak. Right? Like, Breonna Taylor cannot speak anymore. Like, Trayvon Martin cannot speak for himself.
The seven people who were just hung,
who cannot speak for themselves.
Ruling in suicide.
So, like, for me, with this whole wrestling thing, it's the same thing. People are sitting back quietly, not saying anything, because it doesn't affect them, and they're afraid of losing their fucking money, because all America is built on is how much money you have and what stuff you have. I'm just not a believer of stuff. I'm not.
Well, I
don't believe my paycheck is more important than somebody else's sexuality, somebody else getting raped, somebody else being harmed, somebody else being hurt. My paycheck's not worth that.
I understand. And I agree,
I'll get a job somewhere else.
And I agree 100%. I guess what it comes down to is you also have people who are like, they have like dreams, they have goals. But there's a wrestler who brought up a good point where she was like, I deleted my, she said she deleted her WWE network when she found out that the WWE kept going to Saudi Arabia, and they were like, she was like, no, I can't ride with that. When it was just like you know, we know about the nastiness that's going on in Saudi Arabia, how they really don't give a shit about the women there, and like, you know what I mean, like it's their way or no way. I think that's nasty. The WWE has a contract with them. And honestly, like, I watch wrestling just because it's a conversation I can have with my best friend. He hates wrestling. He absolutely hates wrestling. But, like, he hates it. But, like, he was just like, you know what? Right now, it's extra money that he needs right now. He goes, but as soon as he doesn't need it, he's done. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and I understand that. He's got a family support. Like, you know what I mean? And he's actively looking to find a new way to make more money because he hates it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, and he's told me, like, he feels like, you know what I mean? Like, well, not even just him, like, people have told me how dirty they feel covering this stuff. Like, you know what I mean? But the good thing about it is, back to the whole Marvel thing, is like, you have other outlets now. Like, you can be an independent wrestler and make a good living. You may not make the $750,000 or the big bucks that a lot of people make, but you're still getting out your dream. Like, if I never become a $1 million writer, I can honestly still say, I can put on my resume, I am a writer. I am a podcaster. This is what I do. Like, you know what I mean? I can say things like that. So, to Valkyrie's point, she's right. And it's a lesson I had to learn when when I started making a little more money and realizing that, like, it isn't everything. It isn't everything I need. Like, you know what I mean? Like I live... We live way below our means. And she reminded me all the time, like, you know, you can go buy stuff. I was like, I buy comic books. I don't need Jordans. I don't need a new pair of jeans. Like, my money goes to comic books and random t-shirts and video games.
And, like, vacation.
Yeah, and vacation. Mm-hmm. I've gone to Hawaii twice. Some people will never go. I've been twice.
Because they're more concerned with having a 5-bedroom house and a white picket fence and a...
$20,000 wedding?
No, not even, no, 20,000 mark? Do you know what people pay for weddings nowadays?
No. I don't know what people pay for
weddings. Mine was under 10,000, I think.
So was ours. We spent...
restaurant.
No, we spent 16,000 total with everything, including our, like, vacation.
Yeah.
Like, it was everything. But the majority of weddings start at, like, $30,000.
What?
Most of them are around, like, 50. The higher end ones go to, like, $100,000.
That is nasty.
Oh, the wedding industry? We can do that a whole nother day.
Oh, no. The wedding industry.
That could be a whole nother topic.
The wedding industry needs to be a whole thing where it's not even just the wedding industry, it's the funeral industry as well.
Oh, gross.
Oh, God.
But yeah, no, those are whole other things.
Lauren, if you want to be in for that one, you can be in for that one as
sure.
well.
I don't understand people bad. Like, the WWE is all those things too, right? Vince McMahon is openly
a Trump supporter.
He openly made stereotypical characters that he's still doing. It pisses me off to no end, and we've had this conversation.
The leathery looking guy?
The what?
Is he that leathery looking guy who's in all the GIFs who's just terrifying looking?
No, I know what you're talking about, but
gray hair, white guy, leathery as hell, looks insane.
Oh, Ric Flair. The leathery looking guy.
I think he's a wrestler. I think he's like a. He's in a suit. He's like one of the common. And anyway.
I know what you're talking about. It's so funny that he was described as the leathery looking guy with white hair.
He's like.
Oh,
there's,
God.
Like, just. There's something about him that's very disconcerting.
So, before we end, we're at an hour mark. Whenever I do a serious podcast, I try to have some fun with this. You and Valkyrie are going to play a game I call This or That.
What the hell is that?
Literally, you either pick this or that. That's literally what it comes down
okay.
to. We're going to go guest, then Valkyrie, and we'll go from there. Right? Lauren, all you ready to play, this or that?
Yes.
Huh?
Are you ready to play this or that?
Yes, I guess.
All right. Would you rather have your city protected by Peter Parker or Superman?
I think Peter Parker.
Would you rather have what?
Your city protected by Spider-Man or Superman?
Spider-Man.
Better villain, Darth Vader or Norman Osborn?
Oh, Norman Osborn.
Who was the second one?
Norman Osborn or Darth Vader?
Norman Osborn?
Mm-hmm.
Who's that?
Green Goblin.
Yeah, Green Goblin.
Oh, I don't know it. I love Star Wars. I don't know enough about Spider-Man lore.
That's fine.
I don't think I've even seen the one with Green Goblin in it.
I'll send you my favorite picture of Green Goblin. It's the funniest thing ever.
I know Willem Dafoe played him, but other than that, I'm not sure.
Jessica Jones or Luke Cage?
Pardon?
Jessica Jones or Luke Cage?
Oh, God.
Why do we have to separate them?
You know, you're the person who comments on stuff and goes, I'll have them all. Like, no, it doesn't work. Like, this is not, it doesn't go this, that, or both.
Well, because they have their own redeeming qualities
enjoy. You gotta pick one. Luke Cage or Jessica Jones?
The hero or the show?
Oh, the show.
Oh, the show? Luke Cage.
Yeah, Luke Cage. Jessica Jones, I loved the first season. The second one was kind of,
yeah.
And then, I mean, actually, no, was I still liked it, but I think Luke Cage maintained a better quality throughout.
Yeah.
I'm going Jessica.
But again, very difficult decision.
You're going Jessica Jones?
Oh,
right?
Absolutely.
Ugh.
I love Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones.
I hate Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones.
I love her as Jessica Jones. Yeah. Again, I don't know Jessica Jones or Luke Cage in the comic books apart from that, but that was a great introduction.
So, size-wise, it was a really bad choice because Jessica Jones, as Valkyrie has put it, looks like a real woman. She's not a stick figure. You know what I mean?
It just bothered me that they used Kristen Ritter when they had the opportunity to display Jessica Jones as the character she was meant to be. So Jessica Jones was drawn and written the way she was to be more relatable to the everyday woman. Like, she didn't believe in the, you know, sexy costumes and the being a stick figure. So for me, I just thought Kristen Ritter was not the best choice. I feel like they could have went with somebody else.
Valkyrie's always
she did
said
a good job though.
She did a decent job.
She was a little.
I read all the Jessica Jones comics. I don't know. It leaves something for me. I wasn't a big fan of the show though either, but that was just me. I just didn't think it was that great.
I'm sending you an image of Jessica Jones now. One of my favorite images of Jessica Jones.
What?
I sent it to Lauren. All right. So, and I know what Lauren's gonna say to this. So, Lauren, Han Solo or Batman?
Han Solo.
She's like hands down.
Batman.
Batman's a spoiled, pretentious dick. It's Han Solo.
There we go.
Yeah.
Mario or Luigi?
Oh my god, you know who could play her? You know who could totally play her? Rachel Bloom. Chris Evans' girlfriend. She looks kind of like Rachel Bloom.
Kinda. If Rachel Bloom, unfortunately, Rachel Bloom.
In that picture.
Yeah. If Rachel Bloom. This is the picture I sent her.
Rachel Bloom would have to give a little bit more of the bitch, though. I think she'd have to. I like Kristen Ritter's attitude because it makes sense towards the Jessica Jones character.
The physicality wasn't there.
Yeah. And the fact that they had to put 10,000 layers of giant clothes on her to make her be something that she was. It was just weird to me. It was a little kid playing dress up. It was just odd. I know that I'm one of the only people who have that opinion, but and it doesn't hurt my feelings that nobody agrees with it. It's just I just did not.
I see what you mean.
It's like reading your favorite book and then seeing it portrayed on television and being like, what the fuck. This
and
is not what I envisioned.
And it was an opportunity to cast a woman of an average size, and obviously they didn't.
Yeah.
It's like finding out. It's like finding out J.K. Rowling is J.K. Rowling is transphobic.
Oh,
Mario or Luigi?
I'm gonna have to plead the fifth because I don't know enough about. I've never played Mario, or I've seen the terrible movie.
Oh, God. Moving on. All right.
Go for the dinosaur head, guys. So at least that's interesting to me.
Shrek or Aladdin?
Shrek or who?
Aladdin.
I think Shrek.
I think I'm going with Shrek as well. I love the story of Shrek. It's one of my
favorite
movies.
Yeah, I agree. I love Shrek.
Yeah.
I'm like an onion. I have layers.
Alright. I'm gonna save this one for last. Thanos or Cable?
Who's the second one?
Cable from the Deadpool movie.
Hmm.
I'm going Cable, but only because I'm biased.
I'd go for Thanos because I don't remember the Deadpool movie clearly enough. I'm sorry.
Be still, my heart.
I haven't seen it in a while.
Why Thanos and Cable?
They both played by Josh Brolin.
Which portrayal I liked more?
Yeah.
That's really hard. He did a really good job with both characters.
Oh, yes.
Like an excellent job with both characters. So I don't know if I could. That's not fair. Again, that's another one of those you can't pick.
Oh, I'm thinking Cable.
Think he did a better Cable than a better Thanos?
Yeah, he was. One of my favorite parts of the movie was Deadpool went to hug him, and all you heard was a snick noise. And Deadpool was like, "Is that a knife in my dick?" And Cable goes, "That's a knife in your dick."
I don't remember this.
It's towards the end of Deadpool 2. All right, and last question, Lauren. This is for all the marbles. You can win the game that has no points if you answer correctly. Amelia Earhart or Joan of Arc?
God, I feel worse for Joan of Arc.
Well.
But I'm not religious, so I think I'd have more to talk about with Amelia Earhart. I don't know what to base this on.
I don't know. I randomly came up with this as we were doing this. I'm like, you know what? I'll have a little game of this or that to end this with a little more fun.
Why not both?
Thanks.
Oh, can we go with this?
All right. We can have everything. That's the whole point of this whole podcast. Inclusivity.
I will say, best silent movie I've ever seen. The Passion of Joan of Arc.
Oh, I don't think I've ever seen that.
Yeah, I haven't heard of it, actually.
If you want a good cry, watch that.
No, I don't want a good cry. No, okay, look.
I know.
I am tired of crying in movies and having my wife make fun of me of it. Okay, so I may have mentioned this on the show before, but I cried in Toy Story. I cried watching Toy Story 4. Like, there was a moment, it was just, like, so happy, and it's got my emotions going. And she looked at, my wife looked at me and goes, "Are you crying?" I was like, "Don't judge me." This is a happy moment. I started crying in the beginning of, like, The Greatest Showman because, like, I'm a happy crier. I don't cry during sad scenes. I'm a happy crier. When something really happy happens in a movie, I cry. If something sad or, like, messed up happens, I just get angry. I'm a happy crier. Leave it at that. I'm sticking to it. All right. This has been the Old Man Wade Show. I want to thank my lovely wife, Valkyrie, for doing this. Lauren, thank you for doing this. I really, 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 really can't wait till this shit is over so you can actually do this in person. We will have wine. We will have beer. We will have conversations. And it won't
maybe
be...
Some cheese.
Maybe some cheese. Maybe some cheese. If you'd like, would you like people to find you on social media or no?
Sure. On social media, my Instagram is probably the only thing worth following because I'm only on Twitter now and then to retweet other stuff. And my Instagram is Leia's Legacy 84. I think. Let me check. I think there's an 84 there.
Yeah, you know what's funny?
No, it's just Leia's Legacy.
I love, for me, like...
I'm just giving away that I'm 36.
One of my favorite things about your page is, like, all the nature pics.
Yeah, I have to break up the sad stuff, because, I mean, flowers are the only thing I get to see around while just walking around, especially during the quarantine, when all I could do is just go for a little neighborhood walk, get some fresh air. Yeah. So, yeah. I break up the activism stuff with dogs and nature, and sometimes history. Fun stuff.
Nature. but yeah, thank you for joining us. We'll do this again. Valkyrie, where can people meet you?
On my living room couch? I don't know.
Hey, Duke, you have anything to add? Duke?
He doesn't care about you.
Yeah, Duke doesn't care about us right now.
Damn it, Wade!